It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. Happy Monday. It is a great day to be alive. Happy Monday to you, Producer Steve.
You just have to do this every Monday, don't you? You just have to do it. But it's my own fault. I have a little bit too much weekend in my weekend. So, you know, it's reality.
And that's a blessing. You know, and that's a blessing. And Monday mornings, I think Monday mornings are tough for a lot of people. But it is Monday, and we've got to get at it. There's a lot going on. We'll be going through some of the headlines this first segment. In the second segment, Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. Now that the legislature is back in session, kind of, sort of, we're going to talk about some of this stuff. I mean, they wasted no time in starting to be naughty again. And so we'll talk with Sue Moore about that. And then Josh.
Naughty?
Yeah, very naughty.
Okay.
If you value your individual freedom, if you value the American idea, then yes, what they are doing down there is very naughty. So we need to keep an eye on that. And then Josh Philip, an award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times, he's the host of the China Report. We'll be talking with him in the third and fourth segment about what's going on with Hong Kong, as well as President Trump is kicking out some students, about 2,000 to 3,000 Chinese students that it looks like maybe they were spying. Apparently, they were attending military universities before they came over here, so it probably doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that maybe they might be up to no good. So we'll be talking with Josh Philip about that as well. Steve, first of all, I want to say thank you to you and the team, to you, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and then to each of you listeners. You have a purpose today. It is our time to be sure that we protect the American idea with it's just crazy what's going on in America right now. And so we need to look at these issues as what, why, when, and how, where, and who. So you sent me over this quote, Steve, and it says that they want you divided. They want race wars. They want class wars. They want religious wars. They want political wars. For God and country, learn, stay strong, and stay together. Now, you sent this over, so this certainly hit a nerve with you this weekend.
It did, because, you know, how many people, they sit here, I mean, they're aware that something is going on, but they can't really put their finger on it. And one of the first things to do in every one of those statements starts with they. Well, who are they? Once you establish who they are, and you can start putting them under the microscope a little bit and seeing what they're really up to. And it's a lot more than just naughty.
Yeah. And the they is politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. And the one thing about it, Steve, is through this whole, through the Trump administration, you know, trying to take him down with Russiagate and all those different things, then with the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, and now with these riots in the street, the veil is coming off on who they is, or they are, excuse me, who they are. And that's why we need to shed light on this, because the American idea valued the fact that the individual could pursue their life, their liberty, and their happiness. They had rights to life, liberty, and this pursuit of happiness. And I mean, we've seen with the COVID-19 reaction disruption by these PBIs that, I mean, shutting down people's ability to go out and make a living, that is totally antithetical to the American idea. Allowing people to go out and destroy property is antithetical to the American idea. You know, certainly we have concerns I was in a back and forth Facebook message with someone that I knew years ago on just what is happening with these riots. He happens to be black. And I finally said, I don't hate anybody because of the color of their skin. I said, do you hate me for the color of my skin? And he responded back, I know you don't hate anybody because of the color of their skin. But that's the narrative that is out there. And so what happened, what it looks like happened up in Minneapolis is very tragic. But we have to have due process. And we can't have this public lynch mob out there, even if we think the person is guilty. There has to be due process. There has to be the search for the truth. And then justice has to be administered that way. We can't be taking the law into our own hands and creating these mobs out there, Steve. We just can't be doing that. That's antithetical to the way America was founded.
I think of these businesses in Minneapolis who were probably most likely shut down due to the virus, and they patiently, good citizens, they did what they were supposed to do. And at the point that we're coming out of this thing, this situation with George Floyd occurs, and the horror and the absolute crushing of their spirit to lose their business after going through 10 weeks of the virus shutdown. I just can't comprehend it.
Well, and I was talking to a small business person this weekend, an owner of a small business, and she said, because our people are saying, oh, well, they have insurance. And she said that typically insurance does not cover damages from riots. And so you're right. These people have come out of this with the government shutting them down. And now government is standing by while looters and rioters destroy their businesses. This is, and so when you talk about the they, who is it that is standing by and letting this happen? Now, the other correlation that people need to make on this is that this rioting is happening, and this damage of property is happening in cities that are run by Democrats. They're blue cities: Minneapolis, Denver, San Francisco,
Philadelphia,
New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia. These cities are being run by mayors. Now, you know, when we talk about local government, the first most local government is yourself. You need to make sure that you are living a responsible life. You're taking care of yourself and your family. Then it goes up to your city or your town, your community. And so where are the mayors in each of these towns or cities where this is happening? Because they are supposed to be taking care of their cities. And if, in fact, there is a problem with the police department, if there is a problem with racism, they have had ample time to go to work on that. And the police chief is hired by the city council and the mayor. So he or she is directly beholden to them. And policy is set from the top down on that. If there are these problems, then it needs to be addressed. But instead, they're using it as a powder keg to destroy our cities. And so this is one of those days, Steve, as we're looking at it.
It is. And then what something you and I were talking about before we went on the air is that how well organized the they are, just waiting for some situation to spark. And then their organization kicks in. And it was so bizarre. The twisted side of me kind of laughed at it. But in social media this morning, there was a picture in Dallas. A pile of bricks showed up on a street corner overnight. Just a pile of bricks just showed up on its own. And it's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, where did that come from? So this is certainly somewhat organized. And I saw a tweet by Ben Collins this weekend, and he said he had different pictures of different rioters that were destroying property. Said white guy, white guy, white guy, white guy. And then it had a picture of a young black woman screaming at them to quit destroying property. And so, you know, remember on Martin Luther King Day, I walked with my friend Casper Stockham in the Martin Luther King Martin Luther King Jr. parade. And there was a number of young thugs And they actually, they were Bernie supporters, and people said, how could you tell they were Bernie supporters? I'm like, well, they had Bernie water bottles and stuff. But they were acting like thugs. One of the guys had on boots that looked like military boots, young white kids. And then one of them had gloves on that looked like they had like brass knuckles, and they were walking beside us trying to, you know, kind of poke us, and it was just really interesting. And they had a Black Lives Matter sign, and it was white kids. And when you look at it across the spectrum, it's a number of young white kids that are destroying, doing all this rioting. Now, certainly, I think they're maybe started off with some peaceful protests. And if in fact there are problems with police departments and racism, that needs to be addressed. But so Mayor Hancock is black. You look at the city council, it's quote unquote very diverse. How is it that in their city they are allowing this, you know, this destruction of property? Am I making the correlation here? This is a lack of leadership. They are stoking the fire instead of being real leaders, which goes to our quote for today, which I thought was pretty amazing. Let me get to that here. And it's by Sam Houston. And I have two great quotes for him and one at the end of the show. He was an American soldier and politician, an important leader of the Texas Revolution. He served as the first and third president of the Republic of Texas and was one of the first two individuals to represent Texas in the United States Senate. He also served as the sixth governor of Tennessee and the seventh governor of Texas, the only American to be elected governor of two different states in the United States. He was born in 1793 and he died in 1863. And this is what he said. He said, union can achieve everything when sustained by gallant hearts and correct principles, while anarchy and insubordination must fail in the achievement of everything beneficial and glorious to mankind. So as we're looking at this big battle of ideas that's happening in America, we continue to move towards truth, justice, light, and we will be able to overcome this anarchy and insubordination, Steve.
Well, who was it, Saul Alinsky, that Mr. Obama and Mrs. Clinton seemed to be so enamored with? Mm-hmm. I go back to the thing that I sent you, we've seen the division, we've seen the race wars, we've seen the class wars, we've seen the religious wars, we are seeing the political wars. So those ideas are out there, and to some degree they seem to have taken... they have sprouted up, whether they're taking root or not. But I guess the optimism in me says I'm looking at culture, at least through the social media lens, that says people are starting to come a little bit more aware of what this baloney is all about. And they're saying, I'm not having this.
Yeah, and even though they're trying to shut down voices, a couple of things you mentioned, several people mentioned to me that President Trump's speech when the... SpaceX was preparing to launch was fantastic. Just a great speech about America. And Steve, you said you didn't see it anywhere on any of the major news channels. Instead, you said that on Friday night that one of the news stations was just sitting basically downtown just wanting something to happen. Instead of, you know, we could really use some good news, and they will just not report it.
Well, I have a good friend who is a cameraman for one of the stations, and he was down there working Friday night and Saturday night, and he mentioned via social media that both of the reporters he was with saying, we shouldn't be doing this, and that this they were referring to is what keeping a live camera and pointing it at different groups of people, hoping something would happen. And what really caught my attention was one station in particular. It was their normal news half hour, and they went beyond. They just kept right on going with this live camera down at the Capitol, not looking at anything particular, but you got a sense that they were hoping something would happen.
Well, and you know what? People need to turn TV off. You know, I know it's like watching a car wreck or something, but, you know, and people want to see what's happening, but... you know, you need to turn TV off. One other thing before we go to break, because we want to get to Sue Moore here with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. Patty has brought this up, and it is just fascinating. In 1968, obviously, we were having riots in the streets because of, race back then. So it's kind of the same here. But there was the pandemic. It was the H3N2 virus. and it was comprised of two different genes. And the estimated number of deaths was 1 million worldwide and about 100,000 in the United States. Most of those deaths, excess deaths, were in with people 65 years and older. It continues to circulate worldwide. And that was about 0.05. Let me get to the number she had here. Here we go. It was 0.05% of the population. And today, with the COVID-19, that's 0.03% of the population. So it was a much larger group of the population that actually died from this. And she said, do you remember the schools being shut down, businesses being shut down? Do you remember any of that? And so to your point, Steve, what Rahm Emanuel said is never let a good crisis go to waste. And they took this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing and they ran off with it. They shut down people's businesses. They decimated their lives. And one other thing is one of the headlines here was that some of the physicians are reporting that there has been an increase in suicides. But let's go to break. When we come back, we need to get to Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado, because there's a lot of stuff happening down at the State House. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. On the line with me is Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. Welcome to the show, Sue Moore.
Thank you, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
While the legislature was on break, if you will, they just recently reconvened. We haven't been talking because there hadn't been a lot happening. But man, there's a lot going on right now. So let's jump in here. What should our listeners know, Sue Moore?
Yeah, there is going on. And you're right, when you use the word naughty, there's a lot of naughtiness happening down at the Capitol right now. So you and I, in past weeks, we've talked about how the Liberty Caucus, we actually read the bills as they're going through the legislature. We discuss them as a committee. We apply our principles of limited government, free people, free markets, and then we rate each bill either support or oppose. So then we compare our ratings with those of each legislator, and we produce what we call the Liberty Scorecard. So just to kind of preface this, if you want to see how your legislator is doing, you can go to our website. It's rlcco.org, and you can actually see what kind of grade your legislators are getting. So, as you mentioned, the legislature's been on temporary adjournment from mid-March until just last Tuesday, so about 10 weeks. It's been a long time. And during that time, the budget projections went from a huge surplus. They thought they were going to have just be a wash in money to a $3.3 billion shortfall when the new forecast came out. So it's been a huge swing. During the adjournment, the Joint Budget Committee has been meeting. They're the people who are charged with, you know, coming up with a balanced budget. It's been, so they've been combing through every line item and just scrambling to find savings where they could. So it's been painful. You can actually watch the procedures online if you choose to do that. But it was a painful thing to watch. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in those meetings. But it has to be done. They're required to do it by the end of June. So given that they have to pass this budget quickly and they're running out of time, there was a kind of a tacit agreement between the parties that they wouldn't introduce any new bills, and that any old bills that were still in the pipeline that weren't budget related, they would kill in committee, or they call it postpone indefinitely. So with this agreement, you know, it's just gentleman's agreement. It hasn't been worth the paper it was written on. So in going through the bills last week, I guess I'd like to highlight a few of the more egregious ones that are kind of coming through. The worst that we feel are the worst ones, these are actually resolutions, House Resolution 1002 and Senate Resolution 005 are regulations for remote participation. So these resolutions are giving sweeping powers and rulemaking authority to the House Speaker and the Senate President, both of whom are Democrats, of course, and they're allowing for remote voting by legislators. So if you are uncomfortable just being down there, you know, given the pandemic, you can just kind of phone in your vote. We're just horrified by this. It sets a bad precedent, and it's a really slippery slope. I mean, where does it stop, and how much power do we really want to invest in these people, these particular people? The Democrats have a majority right now in the House and the Senate, so obviously they want to protect that at all costs. So if they had a handful of people that just couldn't make it in, you know, that's a scary thing for them. So of course, both of these resolutions passed on party line votes, to no surprise to anyone. A few more. The Senate Bill 204, titled Additional Resources to Protect Air Quality. Now, this obviously doesn't have anything to do with the budget, but it was sponsored by three Democrats. It's not new, but it was introduced and fast-tracked. It was introduced just 2 days before the adjournment, so they could see this coming, and they wanted to make sure that they got this one in the pipeline. It requires $60,000 in seed money, so already they're violating their, you know, if any new bill has a fiscal note, you know, needs to be killed, they want to keep this one alive. So it creates what they call they're calling it the Tabor-exempt air quality enterprise. They call it an enterprise to get around Tabor, because if it was a tax, they'd have to go through Tabor to get it approved. But anyway, it's within the Department of Public Health. It increases revenue to the Air Pollution Control Division. It basically just gives them sweeping powers to decide if you have a business that's emitting any kind of, you know, toxic air, anything at all, they can basically set whatever fees they want. So it's a fee-generating enterprise, and it just gives sweeping powers to a lot of bureaucrats. So for it just pretty much violates everything that we believe in as an organization. Another new bill is Senate Bill 205, sick leave for employees. This one was just introduced last week. It imposes new costs on business owners at a time when they're just struggling to survive and, you know, reopen and get people back to work. And basically what it says is that sick leave is accrued at 1 hour, 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours work, up to a maximum of 48 hours. And this sick leave begins to accrue just as soon as you're hired. From the first hour that you work, you're starting to accrue sick leave. And it's not only for the employee, but if the employee has a family member that they need to take care of, they can actually use that sick leave to do that. And it basically, it's just they're inching toward a paid family leave mandate. It's something that it's been on their agenda, they being the Democrats, for a very long time, and they knew they couldn't get that passed in the legislature this year. So this is kind of their way to stick their toe in the door. Another one, Senate Bill 206, Public Assistance Program Recipient Disqualification. This is another brand new bill that was just introduced last week. Under current law, an individual who commits an intentional violation is disqualified from participating in any public assistance program. So this bill says that if you commit a violation in one program, you're still eligible for public assistance in others. So if you fraudulently applied for unemployment benefits, you can't have your food stamps taken away. So you can see where this is going. The fact that they have to run a bill like this implies that there are a lot of fraudulent claims on public assistance programs, and they predict that's going to continue. So, you know, it's a good and bad thing, but it's, you know, it just kind of speaks to the environment that we're in right now. I've got a couple more if you want to hear them, you know, just so we don't have to end on a totally sour note. There were a couple that didn't get killed that are actually kind of good for business. One is House Bill 20-1326, creates the Occupational Credential Portability Program. And this was really kind of kicked off by the president and continued on the state level. But it says that if you're a physician, a veterinarian, an architect, you can actually practice your craft across state lines without additional licensing and regulation. So it does free up some of the regulations, some of the heinous ones, and, you know, allows people to practice their craft across state lines. So that's a good thing, especially in this environment. Mm-hmm. And another one, the last one I have is Senate Bill 194, brew pub retail sales of malt liquor in sealed containers. Wow, this is not a big one, but it does affect certain businesses. If you own a brew pub and maybe you have several locations, or maybe you produce in a separate location, it allows for you to sell to the public sealed containers for off-premises consumption. So, you know, it's not a biggie, but, you know, the governor has still shut down bars in the states. Restaurants can open, but bars cannot, and brew pubs cannot. So it's just a separate revenue stream for these small companies that are struggling to survive. You know, they may not be able to survive anyway, but at least it gives them a chance to create a new revenue stream. So, you know, those are the ones, the good, the bad. And, you know, they continue to come. The legislature is back in session today, I believe. They're still coming up with amendments that they'll apply to the long bill. So we're keeping an eye on that. And we'll have another report next week. So
Sounds good. And how can people get information on this, Sue Moore?
Yeah, go to our website, rlcco.org. There's a link to the Liberty Scorecard. Like I said, if you want to see how the legislators are doing, how they're behaving, what kind of bills, how they're voting on different types of bills, that's where all the information is, rlcco.org.
Okay, Sue Moore, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Kim. Bye.
Okay, and Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, happy Monday to you.
Yes, I'm very happy. I hope you are too.
I am. So, hey, one of our listeners emailed me, and he had a question. He said, is there any correlation between the recent stimulus bills and the Federal Reserve shenanigans versus the rise in the stock market? So just how much of the equities is the Fed buying with printed money that's not worth the paper that it's not printed on? So what do you want to bite that off there, Jason McBride?
Well, first, that's actually pretty funny. The printed money on the paper it's not printed on is kind of a double entendre that's quite humorous. But
yes.
I don't believe, Kim, that the Fed directly goes into the market and buys equities. They spend their time buying bonds or fixed income, and they did announce recently that they might buy exchange-traded funds, but they would be exchange-traded funds that buy bonds just because the Fed feels, you know, that might be more efficient than buying individual bonds. There are some that say the Fed and the government has a working group called the Plunge Protection Team that comes into action when the market gets in trouble, and that they do buy stocks or equities. But I don't know if that's true or if it's just a rumor or, you know, kind of a conspiracy theory. But I think indirectly, Kim, certainly all the stimulus, the money that they've been giving to individual citizens and businesses and everything they're doing, it indirectly affects the market in a positive way because it brings some confidence back. And so those that were selling that brought the market down, you know, a lot of them will be the same groups that come back in and buy when they feel the tide has turned for the positive. And that's, of course, the mutual funds, the big pension funds, the big money managers, even big foreign buyers. It's, you know, it's not people like me and you that are mom and pop that move the market, Kim. So the short answer is no, not directly. I don't think they're buying equities. But, yes, all of the shenanigans and the extra money in the system, I think, adds confidence. And so, yeah, that's part of the reason the market has come back up.
Okay, and what are you seeing for the futures for today?
You know, the Dow futures, now get ready, Kim, they are swinging back and forth wildly right now between up 1 point and down 1 point. It's kind of like watching gray paint dry at this point.
Well, you know, as volatile as that's been, it's kind of a nice respite for right now. So, you know, Jason, I know you and your colleagues would welcome people if they want to talk about, you know, you mentioned the big guys, but as little guys, you know, if you plan properly, you can do pretty well. And that's what you and your colleagues really specialize in.
Well, we certainly do our best, and it's always better to have a plan than not to have a plan. You know, and try to stick to it the best you can. Make adjustments when it's necessary. Try to avoid as much as you can making adjustments purely based on your emotions at the time. But, yeah, I think having a plan can give a person some confidence, especially if it's two things at the same time, Kim. One, if it's thorough, but two, that it's also easy to understand, and I think we do a pretty good job at both of those areas.
I think you do, Jason McBride. So give Jason and his colleagues a call at Presidential Wealth Management. That phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And if you have questions for Jason, you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com, or you can go over to our website together, airpresidential.com. You can ask the question there as well. So, Jason, thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Josh Philip with the Epoch Times regarding both what's going on with Hong Kong and Trump kicking out some Chinese graduate students. So we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. Thrilled to have on the line with me Josh Philip. He's an award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times and host of the China Report. He is a recognized expert on unrestricted warfare, asymmetrical hybrid warfare. I'm not sure quite what that is, but I think we need to know. Subversion and historical perspectives on today's issues. His 10-plus years of research and investigations on the Chinese Communist Party, subversion, and related topics gives him unique insight into the global threat and political landscape. Josh Philip, welcome to the show.
It's a real pleasure being here. Yeah, good topics going to today.
Yes. Before we get into that, I don't know if there's a quick answer to this, but what is asymmetrical hybrid warfare?
So hybrid warfare is the new definition of where warfare is going. It basically refers to these, quote, you know, short of war tactics that countries like Russia, China, Iran are using, where they push their activities right up to the brink of what we would constitute as war, but never cross it. And the hybrid warfare element is where they combine multiple tactics along those lines.
Okay, so there is a lot of that going on. And a couple of things we wanted to talk about is President Trump had been talking about the threat of China long before people really started to be paying attention, regular people, everyday people. But it looks like he's going to cancel the visas for some of these Chinese graduate students because he says they may be spying. So what's your thoughts on this, Josh Philip?
It's something that's needed to happen for a long time. And it's actually something Epoch Times has been reporting on for years. So just to break this down, the Chinese Communist Party has multiple programs dedicated to academic espionage. We know about the Thousand Talents program now. This Dr. Charles Lieber at Harvard University, who is being charged after getting paid something like $50,000 a month by the Chinese Communist Party and Chinese regime. They have what they call Confucius Institutes, which are these Chinese Communist Party-funded organizations they establish at universities. They pay the universities to put them in. And they run under the, say, label of Chinese language and culture classes. But what they're promoting are ideas of the Chinese Communist Party itself. It's all the regime's narratives. They have the Chinese Student and Scholar Associations, which operate at most major U.S. universities and are openly funded and directed by the Chinese consulate. They have a huge issue with these, for example, in Australia right now. It's actually part of the mainstream discussion there, that these different student groups actually pressure, monitor, and threaten other Chinese students who are, say, innocent Chinese students visiting from abroad. And so, yeah, the issue of academic espionage is huge in the United States.
Well, and so President Trump says it looks like it's going to be, 2,000 to 3,000 students that, they'll take away their visas, and so they're going to have to go back to China. Is that what is going to happen?
From what I understand, the Trump administration is specifically looking at Chinese academics who are tied to the PLA, in other words, the Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army. And that's not a military like the United States military, where they're sworn to protect the Constitution. The Chinese Communist Party's military, the PLA, it's the armed wing of the Chinese Communist Party. They're sworn to protect the party. It's a party military, not a country military.
Okay, and so, but there's, in this piece that Victoria had sent over, there's nearly 360,000 Chinese nationals who are attending U.S. schools. So this is a pretty small number. But yet we're seeing in the narrative from the media and some of these different colleges and universities that, you know, that this is unfair, it's not needed. But it also could be about the money that that these universities make with these students here. So it seems like maybe they might be more interested in the money than in the potential security of the United States.
Well, in addition to the money they get from students coming here, it doesn't appear that's the issue on the surface, because, again, you're talking 300,000 plus Chinese students, and this is targeting a very small percentage of those. This is targeting specifically one side of the PLA, the People's Liberation Army. If you want to talk about the bigger picture of money, though, Department of Education right now is investigating undeclared gifts, foreign gifts at a lot of these universities. They've received something like $6 billion from foreign governments, one of the major ones being China. And so, yeah, they're investigating that right now pretty intensively. It's hard to say whether the media is actually concerned about this or whether they're just using this as a, you know, another opportunity to bring up race narratives and try to accuse Trump of racism. You know, I mean, being fair, that's just what they do, right? And so it's not clear whether they're doing that specifically on this or it's just their day-to-day thing.
Okay, and tell us what this real danger has been, though, with these students at these different universities. I was actually out in California, I guess it was last year, and I went over to Stanford, to Palo Alto. I wanted to go to the library and check something out. And I was actually a bit astonished that I saw so many what appeared as foreign students there at Stanford. So this is, you know, this is happening across our fine universities and colleges throughout the state, but for sure at our very top universities.
It's absolutely at the top universities. And also, yeah, speaking of California, I'll give you one example. Chinese Student and Scholar Association tried to block a speaking event of the Dalai Lama. Of course, you know, Tibetans are brutally persecuted under the Chinese Communist Party. They tried to forbid the Dalai Lama from speaking at a university. It turned out documents emerged showing that Chinese student group was actually taking money from the Chinese Communist Party. And so luckily the university, I believe it was SDSU, went forward with having the Dalai Lama speak. In Australia, they have issues of Chinese students having their families threatened if they, say, for example, attend a pro-democracy event. And so, you know, as different media want to talk about discrimination against Chinese, if you're a Chinese student visiting from China and you go to a pro-human rights event, if you go to a democracy event, these student groups, the ones being targeted right now, they will report you. They will threaten your family. This happens all the time. Many, many cases of this. In addition to that, a lot of these groups, they run through the consulates. Again, CSSA's Chinese Student and Scholar Association, run through the consulates. The consulates also run what they call the United Front Work Department, which runs these same operations through a lot of the different front organizations. And yes, these groups, they have databases on every Chinese national living in the United States, not just direct Chinese nationals, but even in second and third generation. And so, yeah, this is the extension of the Chinese regime's human rights abuses onto American soil. And the main victims of this are Chinese students, Chinese nationals, who are innocent, trying to make a new life here, and they're being monitored, they're being threatened, they're being tracked, you name it. It goes beyond that, too, of course, to academic espionage. It goes beyond that, too, to political pressure, getting into our think tanks, getting into, say, academic institutions, let them give comments to our media. And so journalists think they're interviewing, you know, a normal academic. It turns out he's serving the interests of a foreign government. And so, yeah, it's a huge issue. Many, many areas it impacts.
Wow. Okay. And what about everyday people? We hear that the Chinese might be spying on just regular Americans. Is that happening, Josh Phillip?
Oh, absolutely. United Front Work Department, I just mentioned, that's one of their big operations. And so what is the United Front Work Department? It runs under the Chinese consulate. It's a branch of the Chinese government. And they operate, the whole idea of it is creating a united front line in foreign countries. So the entire idea is foreign subversion. They go into Chinese, they operate at the Chinese consulates. In fact, they operate openly out of the Chinese consulates. Last I checked a few weeks ago, the New York Chinese consulate actually had listed on its website still. These organizations, they run through Chinese front organizations that sometimes have thousands upon thousands of members. And what they do is they go into these communities, they get into the more influential parts of it, they start interacting with local governments, U.S. government officials, top business leaders, you name it. And they use those networks in business and government. They get into, for example, some of the big major corporations. They get into some of the local discussions on politics when it comes to legislation. They get into everything. And so the Chinese Communist Party, they use these networks to influence our politics. And they use these networks, too, to, you know, say, pressure individuals who want to go out and protest for Chinese, you know, human rights. If you want to oppose what the Chinese police are doing in Hong Kong right now, these groups might come after you. They might monitor you. And
wow.
So, yes, the Chinese they're not just monitoring Chinese nationals. It's also China. It's also, you know, Americans like you and me. So.
Okay, well, Josh Phillip, let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk about Hong Kong. Because the Chinese Communist Party has actually taken advantage of some of the good trading policies that the United States has had with Hong Kong, and it looks like that's going to change as well. So this is Kim Munson. It's the Kim Munson Show. I'm talking with Josh Phillip with the Epoch Times. We'll be right back.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out the website, KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And you can reach me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Josh Phillip. He's an award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times and host of the China Report. We're talking about China, and in this last segment, it looks like President Trump is going to take away the visas of maybe 2,000 to 3,000 different Chinese graduate students who have ties to the People's Liberation Party there in China, and it sounds like maybe they've been up to no good, if you will, so he's going to take those visas away. But one of the other things that has happened is Hong Kong has been a jewel in Asia, and you know, with China now cracking down on Hong Kong, they've been actually, China been taking advantage of some of the good trading relationships between Hong Kong and the United States, and Trump, it looks like, is going to put a stop to that as well. So, Hong Kong, you're an expert on China. Josh Phillip, what is happening with this whole thing over there?
So the Chinese Communist Party just had its largest annual conference, and one of the things they brought to the table was these new national security laws for Hong Kong. Now, Hong Kong is supposed to be self-governing. Supposed to have autonomy. It's supposed to have a what they call one country, two system policy, where Hong Kong has all the same rights it did when it was under the British Empire, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, you know, the ability to pretty much live normal life like they would in any kind of Western country. The Chinese Communist Party, on the other hand, their country is a totalitarian communist regime that restricts free speech, severely abuses religious believers, you name it. And so the Chinese Communist Party has decided that they will now extend their laws into Hong Kong. And before, if you remember, the one of the main reasons the Hong Kong protests happened, at least the recent ones, was because of an extradition treaty that was being proposed that would have allowed the Chinese Communist Party to extradite people from Hong Kong to the mainland to face justice in Chinese courts, if you can call that justice. People were very angry about that because they saw it as an end to autonomy. Now this is an extra step. The Communist Party itself, the Chinese regime itself, is doing this. And what they want to do is establish courts in Hong Kong with Chinese Communist Party judges, Chinese Communist Party lawyers, who will basically do their, you know, whatever they want, essentially, outside of the reach of the normal Hong Kong system. And so the Trump administration is recognizing this as the end of Hong Kong's autonomy, that the Chinese regime is violating this agreement it signed as part of the agreement on taking over Hong Kong. This was supposed to last until 2049, and they've ended it more than 20 years early. So here we are.
So, and Hong Kong has had special trading relationships with the United States, and China has taken advantage of that with this trade war that has been going on between China and the United States. They've tried to get around it by sending things through China, and it looks like President Trump is going to close that loophole, correct?
That is accurate. And I mean, for guys like me who watch China pretty closely, a lot of us were surprised that the Chinese regime would go so much on the surface and so openly with what they did, because they use Hong Kong. They need Hong Kong. Hong Kong, they use it to basically launder money. They use it as their main financial hub. They use it to get around sanctions. They use it for all kinds of things. Losing that element, and maybe they didn't think that Trump would actually go forward and end that special relationship, but losing that means that the Chinese regime is going to get hit pretty hard financially, very likely. They're losing their financial hub, which was Hong Kong.
Well, now, and the Chinese have really wanted to make their currency the world currency, and I hear that they're so influential throughout the world that they've been buying up assets and influencing things in Africa, where, you know, we get a lot of the rare earth minerals that actually go into like electric batteries, which here in America we continue to have this push to put move us towards electricity and off of fossil fuels. But yet that seems like that makes us dependent on the Chinese in that realm. But, they buy a bunch of our debt. So it seems like, you know, they really have their tentacles all over the world. But yet there I see comments that with this trade war that's going on with the United States, or has been going on, that it actually is affecting them financially. So what's your comments on that, Josh Phillip?
Yeah, well, I can say we talked at the beginning of this program about unrestricted warfare, asymmetrical hybrid warfare. That's what it takes the form of. Economic warfare, culture warfare, drug warfare. For example, the Chinese Communist Party is the main supplier of precursor chemicals and these synthetic drugs to the cartels. You know, they run the drug trades. You talk about business warfare, that's individual companies, economic warfare, things that affect the GDP of countries. The Chinese regime has multiple, I mean, the list could go on and on of these different programs they have. When it comes to their influence in countries in Africa, Latin America, a lot of that stems with the One Belt, One Road initiative, where the Chinese regime was going in, getting these countries into debt traps, building infrastructure. When the countries default on the debts, the Chinese regime takes over the infrastructure. And many countries, for example, Sri Lanka, have commented that through this system, they basically become vassal states of the Chinese regime. This is the way the Chinese regime is basically renewing traditional colonialism, essentially, taking over these countries, taking over their politics, taking over the natural resources. And you're right. I can say before Trump, to be honest. I mean, I know some people may not like him, but really, when it comes to China, I'm surprised at how well what he's doing has worked. If you were to ask me 6 years ago whether I had a lot of hope when it came to China, I would tell you no. Pretty flatly. The things they've done are so aggressive, and the scale to which they've done it is so huge that I did not see a way that it could be unwound. But the U.S.-China trade war actually had a huge, huge impact on them, and now this virus especially is decimating local economies, and it just so happens that when the Chinese regime has its tentacles, as you mentioned, into a lot of these local economies, it is their interests that are being affected the hardest. And, yeah, they're actually scaling it back. And in turn of all of this, they've launched a new program, what they call Wolf Warrior Diplomacy, where they're going around threatening local governments. And the local governments are realizing the Chinese regime is not their friend. The Chinese regime is realizing those things might work in mainland China. But when you go and threaten the New Zealand government, when you threaten African governments, when you threaten the Australian government, they fight back. They turn against you. A lot of countries, Japan, India, for example, they're paying companies to leave China right now. A lot of countries are looking to remove their different supply chains out of China. And, yeah, I think when the smoke clears, we're going to see a very different world from all this, because the ability of the Chinese regime to control our industries is coming to an end.
You know, that's so interesting, Josh Philip. One of my sponsors, Jason McBride, that was on at the bottom of the hour, when we were starting this whole, when Trump was starting this whole tariffs and this, you know, this trade war, if you will, he said that what will happen is businesses will move to other countries, and that really will affect the Chinese economy. And so what you're saying is you're seeing that happening as we speak, yes, right?
Yeah, on a massive scale. Because it's not just the United States, it's other countries as well. As I mentioned, even India and Japan, they're paying companies to leave.
So, Josh Philip, will this get China to a point where they might do something drastic because of all this movement?
Well, let's be clear. So the Chinese Communist Party, through its unrestricted warfare concepts, what we talked about with the asymmetrical hybrid warfare, anything that could have been exploited, they were already exploiting. They were already, in their eyes, waging war on the United States. They talk about it openly. In fact, the unrestricted warfare doctrine they were acting on, all these different forms I mentioned, for them, that's warfare. They were waging full-scale war on the United States in every single way outside of traditional, conventional troop-on-troop combat. I would not put anything beyond them, but their military, as it stands right now, could not stand against the whole world, let alone even just the United States. Their main warfare program, if that were to happen, would be what they call the Assassin's Mace program, which works on these different unconventional weapons, anti-satellite weapons, low Earth orbit, nuclear detonation for, you know, EMP. I mean, things to knock out and disable the main systems that enable the U.S. military. But the problem with that system is it relies on surprise attack, and the U.S. is privy to it. The U.S. has been preparing for it. For example, Dr. Michael Pillsbury wrote a book, 100-Year Marathon, where he talks about this program. A lot of that is not – they can't launch it right now. They can't launch it because the whole world is focused on that. And so I think they're running out of options.
So in a way, this COVID-19 thing has really put a spotlight on what's going on with China. And so that could be a very good thing, I guess.
It has. And I mean, it's a terrible situation we're in. I wouldn't want to say it's a good thing. But when it comes to the Chinese regime and what it was planning, to be honest, I mean, watching it from my standpoint and all the different pieces I'm looking at, the future we were facing with China was a bit frightening. And I no longer see that frightening future. I honestly don't even know if the Chinese regime is going to survive all the things it's going through right now. And so, yeah, from that perspective, it is a good thing. Maybe it saved the world in some regard from what we could have faced.
Wow. Josh Philip, we have about 30 seconds. How can people get more information about what you and you're talking about?
So I do a show, a segment called China Report, but it's under a show called Crossroads on YouTube. You can go on YouTube, type in Crossroads with Joshua Philip. It's also on the Epoch Times website, PHEPOCHTIMES.com.
Okay, Josh Philip, thank you so much. And what a message of hope. I greatly appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay, and our quote for today is Sam Houston. He said, a leader is someone who helps improve the lives of other people or improve the system that they live under. So today, read great books, think great thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.